Well, as we talk about this foundation stones, we doing the four square gospel. We're a four square church, and we talk about Jesus, our Savior. Talk about Jesus, our healer. And this morning we're going to talk about Jesus, the baptizer. And then we have the coming King, those four square truths that are built on the identity of who Jesus is. Those things that give us hope, those things that empower us, these things that we need healed of, that we identify that that is who we come to worship. And it's not just the four square gospel. Yes, that's a four square church in those identities that we've identified and some icons, but it should be what's common in every church that calls Jesus their Savior. And so we just, it's not, we don't hold the corner on it. But if you don't have a focus or a goal, and you know, you see it in companies, they have mission statements. And even our church, we summarize it, loving God, loving people. That just those things that remind us, okay, that's what we're about. And I love this truth about who Jesus is. And as we come today, we're going to talk about Jesus, the baptizers, the Holy Spirit. You know what's crazy about this? Just the way it worked out, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the day that the Holy Spirit showed up on the scene 2,000 years ago. Pentecost comes from that Greek word meaning 50th. 50th. And why it was significant, 50 days after Passover, Pentecost was to be celebrated. Well, actually, it was called the Feast of Harvest. It was the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. And that was when it was celebrated. It was one of three or so pilgrimage festivals that Jews would travel from communities and towns all over the place to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. And so as it became called, because Greek became the language, it became to be called Pentecost, 50. For 40 days, Jesus traveled amongst his disciples after he was resurrected. And it says that he taught them and he gave evidence that said, hey, it's really me. This isn't just a story. It's really me. I'm alive. And you know some of the stories where he ate something with them to say, hey, touch me. Thomas, touch my hands. See my side. It's me. Crucified Jesus. It's resurrected Jesus. And so as he went and he explained in those 40 days what was going to happen. Luke reminds us in his book that he writes in Acts what happened on one of those occasions. Read with me Acts chapter 1 verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with or in water, but in a few days you will be baptized with or in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, wait, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, John looked forward as he pointed and says, hey, this is the Messiah. And he knew that. It's because God told him, says, the one I see, you see my Spirit land on, that's the Messiah. And so we know from John the Baptist, he said that he saw the Spirit descended like a what? A dove, which is the icon that we use for Jesus, the baptizer of the Spirit. The dove landed on Jesus and remained on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. That Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, fully immersed in water, just like we baptized. It touches and makes you soaking wet everywhere. I think about the Holy Spirit. When Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, it needs to touch every single part of our bodies, every single part of our minds, every single part of our lives, every kind of situation, our goals, our intentions, our motivations, what we do, how we choose to live. that Holy Spirit that Jesus comes and baptized with wants to impact and influence in all those different aspects of us. It's interesting, in the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they get called the Gospels, right? The four books that talk about different views of Jesus' life. And each, some of the stories are the same. Some of them add other details, and some are unique to their gospel. But what's interesting about John is he talks about conversations at the Last Supper that none of the other gospel writers talk about. One of them that he talked about was at this meal, Peter declares, he said, "I'm going to follow you, Jesus, even to death. I'll follow you." And Jesus says, "Really, Peter? Really, will you follow me to death?" And it was at this meal that Jesus said, "You know where I'm going." And Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going, Jesus." It was at that same meal that Philip tells Jesus, "Show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." And Jesus, if there's an exasperated Jesus, this is it, because he responds in John 14:9, records, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time," they've walked with Jesus, they've heard his teaching, they've seen how he's lived, they've seen his miracles, and yet they still, you get the idea, are still clueless about who Jesus is. It's like, I've been with you guys, and you're still asking me these questions. Something needs to be different. Something needs to change. John 14, in verse 15 to 18, Jesus describes it like this. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You see, Jesus, where he's frustrated with these guys, and his response is, there's going to be an advocate because you guys need help. Advocate means help, to give us, grab a hold of everything that we have available to us. Those, just you think about advocates in the court system, that somebody that's going and has your best interest in mind and making connections, say, hey, do you know you have this right? You know you have this resource? The advocate comes and helps us. We need help. I need help. Anybody else here need help? I need help. I need help. This advocate comes to be on the next to you, the side of you, to teach you all things, to remind you of things, to give you peace that only comes from God. That's the kind of advocate, this promise of the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit is to have Jesus not only with you, but in you. How many of you guys wished you would have been walking with Jesus and seeing those miracles? It's like, oh, Jesus said, I've got something better. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. All different names, you know, the Advocate, the Spirit of Jesus, and here we call also the Spirit of Truth. To have the Holy Spirit is to have Jesus with you and in you, with you, alongside you, wherever you go. I am with you till the end of the age. The only way Jesus could say that is because his Holy Spirit lives in us, to be in you, birthing ideas, comforting, convicting, transforming you, healing you, sustaining you, producing fruit in you. A good, healthy tree. I'm so excited. We have a peach tree that we planted a couple years ago, and it every year has a little more fruit. Right now it has a ton of little baby peaches on it. And I am so hopeful. I love peaches, and this wet valley is a terrible place to have peach trees because it has this thing called leaf curl from all of the rain and fungus that we have here. But I'm hopeful because this is a leaf curl resistant peach tree. I'm praying for lots of resistance. And it is growing, and it's designed to bear fruit And as the Holy Spirit comes to give us fruit of His Spirit, all those things that Jesus walked out and lived, that we get to have birthed in us. Think about the Holy Spirit gives birth. The Holy Spirit gives birth to God's presence. And think about from Jesus come, Emmanuel. We sing about Him at Christmas time. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and birthed God's presence, not just in Mary, but birthed God's presence in this world. To have the Holy Spirit is to have God's presence in us. The Holy Spirit births a new life. The Holy Spirit continues to birth, not just the beginning as the birth of Jesus, but as the Holy Spirit comes and births ideas. I would not be a pastor today if the Holy Spirit hadn't birthed the idea of being a pastor. I remember when somebody, I was at a church working at a construction company and going to church, and they had a Bible school, and I'm like, oh, I want to do that. And I went to their Bible classes during the week and did the papers and did the homework. And then we became home group leaders. And my pastor said, I believe God's got His hand on you. He says, I see a pastor's heart in you. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit confirmed that word. I had never heard that word before. I've heard a lot of things that God birthed on me, but that wasn't one of them. That God birth that is like from that point on, I remember those Bible classes were significant. As I saw my assignments in churches, we participated in teaching sixth graders, as we participated in marriage ministry, as we participated in leading youth groups, I became aware of the Holy Spirit birthing something in me. The Holy Spirit gives birth not just to God's presence, but to the church. It was 50 days, right? 50 days from the Passover to Pentecost. And Luke tells us that for 40 days, Jesus walked around giving proof that He was alive and teaching the disciples those last words that you want people to get a clue on. So for 10 days after Jesus left, He sent them to the upper room in Jerusalem to wait. 10 days, a number for testing. Pressing in, they waited for that Holy Spirit to come. And we know that the Holy Spirit came like a dove. It came like fire. Landed on them. On each of those disciples, of those followers that waited for Him. Landed on them. They began to speak in tongues and languages of all the different people that traveled. Remember those pilgrimage to travel Jerusalem for the Feast of Harvest, were there in town, and they heard their own languages. Some of them thinking that Peter was drunk, and other of them said, no, we're hearing our language, praising God. And Peter gives his amazing first message to the church. And he says, hey, this is this Jesus that you crucified. He is the Messiah. He's the one who came. And it says that this audience of people were convicted. They're like, what do we do? I can't believe we killed the Messiah. Then what does Peter say to do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children on all who are afar off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, He warned them and He pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted His message and were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The Holy Spirit gave birth to God's presence, and the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church. With that message, people responded. And what does Peter say? And receive the Holy Spirit. Receive God's presence. Jesus told them, says, man, you want me to leave. You guys are clueless right now. Even though I'm with you, you're still clueless. You need me to go so that my Father can send you the Holy Spirit to live in you, to be my presence, to be what I called you to be. Show me a church without the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you religion. Show me a church with the Holy Spirit, and there's going to be a life there. There'll be transformation. There'll be ministry. There'll be impact. There'll be life, evidence of God working. The Holy Spirit gives birth to witness. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. When we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, it changes us. That same Jesus, can you imagine Jesus being quiet? No, he came with a message. He came with a purpose that it can't help but come out of you. Just think about Peter. Peter who ran away. Peter who swore that he didn't know Jesus. And Peter who stands up is a different Peter. The Peter after, even after the resurrection, they were in locked rooms making sure nobody would know who or where they were. And this is Peter who is speaking in the center of Jerusalem. Pharisees, this is the Jesus you crucified, without any kind of fear of his life. He's a changed man. He's a changed man to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit births the light of the world in us so people can see by how we live, what we say, what we don't say, what we do and what we don't do, right? There's the sin of commission, right? What you commit. There's also another kind of sin, right? The sin of omission, what we don't do. Have you ever had that feeling where you're like, I should do that, I should do that, I should call them, I should do that, and then you don't do it? That's a sin of omission. We need the Holy Spirit to prompt them, say, hey, trust me, trust me, trust me. The Holy Spirit gives birth to conviction. John 16:8, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us, to say, hey, you're not living right. The way you're living, it leads to death. But it's also, we need encouragement. How many need encouragement? The Holy Spirit comes and say, hey, you're doing the right thing. What you said or what you didn't say or what you're doing. Just doing. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us what is good. Sometimes we don't know. I just, this last week, and weeks like yours are super busy. And you have, it's like, I need to get this done. When should I do it? And we can be overwhelmed and anxious about all the things you do. I pray, God, would you give me wisdom about how to walk this out? I just, and sometimes I like, because I'm pretty concrete, sequential, I like to know ahead of time what to do. And the Lord says, just trust me. No, I want to know. I want to know, am I supposed to do this? Yes. And I can't do both because just there's so many hours in the day. And Lord, just walk out what I told you to do. And I'll let you know. And as the day unfolds, it becomes clear that I'm to go this place and not this place. And I just, I love the result of that. I hate the process, but it was just a reminder. He's got, we need to be Spirit-led, not plans-led. Make a plan, for sure, but submit it to the Lord. And there's some plans I can't make because you can't do two things or be three places at one time. And God is so gracious. Yesterday, I got to go to a beautiful wedding yesterday afternoon. And I in my mind, I was going to go visit somebody in the hospital. And I, for some reason, the, the wedding was so fun, I stayed longer than I thought I was going to stay. And it got late, and I'm like, oh, I knew that I'd made plan to go visit some hospital, and it just didn't work out. I mean, it was late, and I'm like, you know, I'm old, I got to preach tomorrow, and I got a phone call. And I say, hey, have you heard about this person? I said, yeah, well, tell me what's up. And they said that these things have gotten worse. It was so interesting. I just felt God's graciousness. I felt a peace about, you know, okay, I don't want to be legalistic. I want to walk in the Spirit, but I just felt like, you know what, my day's done. I had a plan, and it didn't work out. I felt like God was so gracious to give me a phone call to say, what you sensed you were supposed to do, I'm going to be gracious with you. I'm not going to smack you around or anything, but I'm going to give you literally a phone call from a friend that's saying, I can't go. I want to go. And I said, I was supposed to go, and I chose not to. You reminded me, I'm putting my shoes on right now and changing. I'm going. God is so gracious. I knew by the Holy Spirit what I was supposed to do, but there was my flesh and just circumstances getting in the way. And God is so gracious to remind me through a friend, a phone call, whatever it is, to go. And I went. It was a great time of fellowship and conversation and praying, that I knew that that's where I was supposed to be. The Holy Spirit gives birth to maturing. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. And the name, the Holy Spirit, we talked before, is Advocate, someone who supports you, to help you, to lay hold of everything that God has. That maturing process, that the moment we say yes to Jesus is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It takes working out with, like Paul says, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. It takes stepping in and saying, what do I need to grow? What do I need to learn? It's one of those things that shows character. I think about school. You know, what kid loves to go to school? Maybe they like to go hang out with their friends, but who likes to go and get assignments and sit in a classroom and have homework? Very few kids enjoy that. And then the ones that do, they're weird. I'll just say that out loud. It's hard. But part of maturing is pressing into that and saying, I need to learn. Then the Holy Spirit comes to teach us and remind us. We need reminding. We need to learn that process of maturing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a process that happens. We just don't become adults and mature in Christ. There's a process of stepping into that. We need the Holy Spirit to prompt us to want to learn, to want to press in, to make it interesting, to have a quiet time that's meaningful, that isn't just going through the motion, that we hear God's Spirit in us, prompting us, revealing. I love to read the Word, especially when I'm tuned into the Lord and He highlights stuff to me. I love that, because, you know, just as I'm preparing this message, it's just reminding me all over how important it is for me to allow the Holy Spirit to birth stuff in. The Bible calls about quenching the Holy Spirit. Said, no, I'm not going to let this happen. It takes eating the right stuff. It talks, you know, sleeping, being healthy, to make a place where that birth, what happens and which produces a healthy baby, is a healthy growth that comes from taking care of who we are and allowing the Holy Spirit to birth what He intends to birth. The Holy Spirit gives birth to hope. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that what you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That process of trusting God and thinking about, my wife and I were talking yesterday about that process of, as we think about, what am I joyful of? I'm joyful of God's growth, of His opportunity, of His love for me. And as I think about them, I'm filled with peace. It's like, man, God handled it back here. He's going to handle it over here. And as I begin to experience that joy, it opens up that place where by the power of the Holy Spirit, I overflow with hope. It's a different kind of hope than the world has. It's a certain kind of hope that says that what God says is going to happen. I get filled with hope that I can't imagine out of this impossible situation how God's going to redeem it. I'm going to keep hoping because God's going, and it's that we need that kind of Holy Spirit kind of faith to say, this looks impossible. I need to pray those things that, you ever pray prayers that you're going, am I just going through the motions or do I really believe what I'm praying? We need the Holy Spirit to say, I believe in a God who does impossible. Holy Spirit, would you make these things come to pass? I want to pray because of my, not what I can see happening, but because there's a God who accomplishes the impossible. The God of hope. Holy Spirit not only births hope, but joy. I love this Luke 10:21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. The Holy Spirit births joy from seeing God's working in mysterious ways. I remember years ago seeing a poster of a picture of Jesus, and the title of it was The Laughing Jesus. Most of us, I always picture Jesus as somber, you know, kind of, you know, maybe a slight smile, a warm smile. But this was a laughing Jesus, a Jesus full of joy. And I just think he was tickled. It says, by the Holy Spirit, tickled about God's mysterious ways of working, that the guys who thought they had figured out didn't have it figured out, and the guys who were simple, came like children, had it figured it out. In fact, Jesus called the Pharisees blind because they thought they had it figured out. And he said, those who admit that they're blind are the ones that receive their sight. The Holy Spirit burst the joy as Jesus recognizes those simple way of doing things to be able to say, God, you're an amazing God. You fill me with joy because I see you working, always working in mysterious ways, pulling things together in conversations and thoughts in my heart. The Holy Spirit gives birth to gifts. There are different, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, in and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to the church for ministry. All those things, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, those gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, miraculous power, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in different tongues, interpreting different tongues, the gift of administration, gifts of giving, all these gifts that the Holy Spirit has given, the gifts of playing the clarinet, the gifts of singing, the gifts of leading, all those gifts, what? For the benefit of the church. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to every single one as He sees is necessary, as He sees that is needed for the ministering of the church to build the body. You know, it's crazy about God's kingdom paradigm is that every single gift we use, we think we're using it for somebody else's benefit. But every time we have the Holy Spirit flowing through us, it's benefiting us. It's growing us. As you and I step out in faith with the gifts that God has given us, it will change you. It changes you. It isn't just for the benefit of that person, but when God works in and through us, it benefits the person who's practicing that gift, using that gift of ministry. I think about the impact that Jesus had on people. Did Jesus impact people? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the impact that Jesus had. As we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we receive that gift that God has given it of His Holy Spirit, we will have influence. There's two ways we can influence, right? If we're obedient to our flesh, we're going to influence for evil. If we walk in the influence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, we will influence for good. The impact that we have on people, on our family, on our friends. And as we walk out that, we will be changed. We will be changed. The Holy Spirit gives birth. As we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, what do you do with that? It is interesting as Ephesians describes the Holy Spirit as being planted in every single deposited in every single believer as a guarantee of what's to come. I'm going to read something out of Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to all those who ask Him? Pentecostal theology, not just doctrine, you know, and I kind of crack up at this. It's man's attempt to define God. And so I just it's man's attempt. It's just an attempt. But one of the things of Pentecostal theology describes the receiving of the Holy Spirit separate from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so it says that there's a second infilling, there's a second, and the kind of the doctrine that comes from that are the five or so examples of people receiving the Holy Spirit. This Pentecost day, 2,000 years ago, was the first one, where when the Holy Spirit came on them, what did they do? They spoke in tongues. When Paul laid hands on believers, they spoke in tongues. They get those examples. And so Pentecostal theology says, okay, we're going to say the Holy Spirit comes, but then when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. Okay? That's classic Pentecostal theology. I just want to say that's man's attempt to define. Okay? And then we get denominations out of it. We're going to define God, and this is how He is. And so this is, if you believe like this, come to this church. We're going to define God like this, and if you believe like this, come to this church. I just want to say the Holy Spirit births life. Okay? Here's what's interesting about this verse. Is Paul says that the moment that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is planted into us. In this passage in Luke, Jesus is teaching about persistence with the Father. In those verses that precede this, He's talking about asking, seeking, knocking. He says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And what does He say? And what will happen? And the door will be open. What you ask for, you'll find. What you seek, you will receive. The door that you knock on will be opened. Okay? So what He follows that up with, He says, you guys know how to give gifts, and you're just people, evil people, and you know how to give good birthday presents, good wedding presents. He said, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts? Amen. He says that if you will ask, your Father will give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks Him. What I'm suggesting today, whether your theology says, oh, we got it all at salvation, or your theology says, man, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said is, regardless of what your theology is we need to ask. Do you need to sense God's presence in you? Do you need to have hope that goes beyond your circumstances? Do you need joy in your pitifully sad life? Do you need God's gifts to help you walk out? Do you need boldness in your witness? Do you need to grow up and quit being in third grade in your faith? Do you need to grab a hold of stuff that you haven't grabbed a hold of yet? Do you need the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Those things that come out because of what? The fruit of the Spirit. The invitation that God has for all of us, just would you ask me? Would you not ask me once? Not knock on the door once. Have you ever knocked on somebody's door, you know, rang the doorbell, nobody answers? What happens if you really want to see them? You get louder. I mean, you change from the knuckles to the fist. It's like, if somebody's home, they're going to hear me. And if this door ain't latched, it's opening up. And if that ain't good enough, I'm going around the backyard to see if they're working in the yard. But I'm going to get an answer. That's the invitation, because there's something that happens in us when we want something. We go after it. Have you ever had a kid ask you something 10 zillion times and you keep saying no? And finally, what do? You manipulated parent. You say, okay, just quit bugging me. How much more is your good daddy in heaven? Because there's something that happens that in us, do you really want this? Do you really need this? There's an intensity that God is looking for us, not because He just wants to see us spin our wheels, because we have to come to terms with our need for His Holy Spirit to be living in us, with us, and through us, to walk out the gospel. Is not the gospel without the person and birthing power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to come in. That is the transformational power of the Spirit. Show me a life that isn't changing, and I'll show you a life that's not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's harsh words, but it's true. We need to be walking in submission to and pursuit of, not just a one-time, God, would you just fill me? It's like, no, Lord, God, on my knees, I need you to come fill me. I need you to change my heart. I'm an angry, bitter person. God, would you come and bring forgiveness and your peace in my life so that I can live in a way that pleases you, in a way that brings life, not death. God, would you birth new ways of thinking? I think of creativity. God, would you birth a new way of thinking and handling this problem? Because this old way, this on paper kind of way, this advice of man way is not working. I need your Holy Spirit to birth something creative in me. I need your Holy Spirit to birth something of power so that what comes out of my mouth is from your heart, not my heart. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. I pray, you know, as we talk about the four gospel, this isn't just a message that we do every year just because we're Four Square Church. This is a message that we need to be living. We need to come to terms as Jesus our Savior. I need saving. I need rescuing. Jesus, I need your healing, not just of my body. I need your healing of my heart, of the trauma that I've experienced, of the lack that I've had, of the pain of my choices, of the pain of how people treated me. Lord, I need your healing. Lord, I need your power. I need you to empower me to live a life that reflects who you are, that just isn't religion, but is a walking in obedience. Right? There's the love exchange that happens. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. Okay? There's it. If you love me, we get to step out, do what Jesus said, And what does Jesus say? And I will ask my Father to send you the Holy Spirit. There's a love exchange. For God to give His presence to us is a reflection of His love for us. What prepares that place for the Holy Spirit to come, for that place for the Spirit to walk in fullness, is our obedience to what God calls us to. You know, I think of yesterday, I was obedient in knowing that I was supposed to do that, go visit my friend in the hospital. But I thought, call me a week or whatever, you old man, you want to go home and rest. Okay, whatever. That God was so gracious, He knew my heart was to do the right thing. Right? The flesh is willing, but the Spirit, or the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My flesh was weak. I was walking. I'm intentional to walk in obedience to the Lord. God knows that. But He also knows what I need, what? Help. I need help. And He was so gracious to send that phone call to remind me. He said, yeah, that was me. Go and do what I asked you to do. It was so good. It was so good. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us, what we wouldn't do on our own. And Jesus knows that, right? The clueless guys. He says, you guys aren't going to ever get this if you don't have my Spirit living in you. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I pray just in that humility that everyone here, we could say, I need help. I need your help. Not just anybody's help. I need your help. I need your Spirit with me to walk through my day. I need your Spirit in me to be creative and birthing your life in me so that I can be bringing life to the world around me. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that if there's folks here that would recognize their need of your help, Lord, that they would ask our good, good, good Father for a good gift of His Holy Spirit, His presence living in us. And that because you know how to give good gifts, you will give your Spirit. The Spirit that births life in us. Lord, I pray that not only in my own life, but that we'd be a church full of your Holy Spirit, full of obedience, full of all those signs that your Holy Spirit births in the life of believers, because it reflects who you are, God, the God of hope, the God of joy, the God of maturing and growing, ready to do every good work. Lord, I thank you this morning that we get to celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate the harvest. We celebrate the end of one harvest and the beginning of a new chapter of a new harvest because of your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.